Hello.net members, readers, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access Audio Review for the WWE 205 Live Show that aired October 3rd, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the commercial break for non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review for the show that featured a showdown between the newly turned heel, Jack Gallagher, versus Cedric Alexander in the main event spot of 205 Live. And we're back. And it's another week of 205 Live. If the show landed on October 2nd, there was no way I'm covering it. Should I have to subjugate myself, my friends, and my family to WWE's worst form of torture, the form of torture that the WWE stooge put Hangman Page through? Nope. Luckily, it wasn't on my birthday. It was on the day after. That said, they were probably giving me an unintentional birthday present by presenting me with a decent episode to review. I'm kidding, of course, about WWE presenting me with something, but I'm not kidding about the quality. This show was not half bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't his usual boring self. Maybe the low quality of the show just set the bar so low that the show was relatively good. Anyway, if you would like to follow along, you can utilize my written review, which is posted on ProWrestling.net. I'll be using my review as an outline and as notes. Now, let's not hold this biz up. Without further ado, let's get into the review. As I said, WWE 205 Live aired on the WWE Network, and it aired right after SmackDown from Denver, Colorado at the Pepsi Center. The intro teaser was a replay of last night's, or a trimmed up replay of last night's main event angle, where Enzo Amore tore down the 205 Live roster, as well as Kalisto debuting as the newly signed Cruiserweight to the Cruiserweight division. I did give some quick thoughts, and I said Enzo was good on the microphone, but I didn't like what WWE did with the Cruiserweights. They treated them like TNA circa 2016 prior, where the Cruiserweights slash X Division guys all seem like friends who hang out together backstage, and they're all one united group against whatever heel pops up randomly. It was something TNA used to do that was weird, homogenizing them as a homogenous entity. Have these guys be individuals. What WWE always did a little better than TNA, at least on the onset, was have all these guys as individuals. But on Raw, it seems like they're treating them like an homogenous blob, as I said. So I wasn't a huge fan of that. And it seems like there's two different writers. I mean, that makes sense. But I'll get into it a little more via Enzo Amore and Brian Kendrick sort of alluding to that in their promos later on. So, the 205 Live intro theme played, and it had a few edits to it. We had Kalisto added to it, as well as Evil Jack Gallagher. I think there was also a clip of Rich Swann doing a Phoenix Splash. And after the opening theme, Vic Joseph checked in on commentary, and he called 205 Live the most exciting hour in television, which, to me, screams inferiority complex, given how Joseph is essentially forced to utter this line every episode. Nigel McGuinness was also back on commentary. Byron Saxton filled in for Nigel last week. I'm not 100% sure where he was, but he's back. Not a huge fan of Nigel on the show. He sort of kind of reverts to his weird ROH slash TNA commentary. I don't think it's Nigel's fault. Nigel is a really good commentator when he's partnered with a good commentator. Vic Joseph, to me, is not that great. He's a guy who causes a lot of dead air and doesn't really say a lot during commentary. He does the WWE plugs decent enough, and he doesn't even do those the best. So Vic Joseph needs a little work. But if Nigel was paired with Tom Phillips, Michael Cole, Jim Ross, I think he would do. No, Nigel is solid when he teams up with them. It's just this Vic Joseph Nigel McGuinness team. It's not that great. I was more of a fan of Vic Joseph and Byron Saxon a week ago. But this is our commentary team. Corey Graves is not here because I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to be here. Maybe he does want to be on 205 Live, but who knows? Moving along, we had our opening segment. It was Kalisto coming out for a promo segment. Some notes on Kalisto. He came out to his old Lucha Dragon entrance theme. He also wore his Lucha Dragon version of his mask, sort of just coming out and doing the whole Lucha Dragon bit, which I found a little weird because I thought when they gave him his EDM type song and changed up his look a little bit, it made him look a little edgier, made him look a little less dorky. What adds to the dorkitude is the whole lucha arm pointing thing, which I will now call his lucha thing. If you remember, that was Kalisto's classic promo after getting drafted to SmackDown, where he talked about making a good lucha thing. Check it out. Kalisto talked about he cut a promo in Spanish, and I didn't bother to go back and check, but I did. He did go into English, said Kurt Angle gave him an opportunity of a lifetime to go on 205 Live. And I'm like, wow, that's laugh out loud funny, especially given how Neville, for the last couple of weeks, has said that 205 Live is essentially the bottom of the barrel in WWE, where they just kind of toss you when they don't want anything to deal with you. That's how he's been dissing Enzo. Kalisto said, "Of course, let's go." And he said that in Spanish, and I believe that's what he said. I translated it via my high school level of Spanish. Kalisto said the Cruiserweights were the hardest working guys he's met. And then he was interrupted by Enzo Amore. Enzo came out and did his usual Certified G entrance routine, and you can't teach that and all that good stuff. He did get a favorable response, but then he also does his whole half heel, half baby face thing. He talked about how he gets caught in airports and people try to get his autograph, but he gives it to them because he's a nice guy. He mocked Kalisto for low merch sales or not having merchandise in stores, only having them on WWEshop.com, which is actually an interesting note. You go to like Targets and stuff, they don't have Kalisto masks, but they have a ton of Sin Cara masks that they're trying to unload. But anyway, you had Kalisto running down, or Enzo running down Kalisto. He gave Kalisto some credit for beating up Braun Strowman, but ultimately getting sent into the trash can. Enzo talked about 205 Live being the so show and said that because Kalisto is on the so show, he will now get merchandise everywhere because by association with Enzo, his stock will rise. He then went on to hype up Arya Daivari, who he talked about. He said he called Daivari the Persian version of Drake, and said that this guy fights with grace despite what he said on Raw. And that's what I was talking about earlier, and I'll talk about it after Kendrick brings it up later on. Long story short, this leads to Arya Daivari coming out, which leads into our first match, which is Kalisto versus Arya Daivari. And they had a pretty solid match. So Kalisto defeated Arya Daivari via pinfall in 4 minutes and 44 seconds. Throughout this match, you had Kalisto doing his lucha thing where he starts pointing in the air. And I think he should tone that down a little bit. Akira Tozawa, when he does the ha thing, when he overdoes it, and he kind of, Akira Tozawa later on in this episode, overdid it. But it doesn't come off as dorky. When Kalisto does it, it comes off as dorky. He's like, he looks like he's just some guy pointing into the air with finger pistols. It's weird. But going back to the match was solid. Have nothing to complain about it. Arya Daivari seems to be pigeonholed into the area where Drew Gulak once inhabited, so there was no chance he was winning this, which is a shame because Arya Daivari has got got him himself out of that hole with a few solid wins. And now it seems like he's the designated jobber of 205 Live. And you kind of need a few of those. The problem is it doesn't make the matches compelling. What I did like about the match was Ari Daivari isn't as formulaic and mundane as Tony Nese, for example. He doesn't go for chairs, but his offense is varied, so it doesn't put you to sleep, which I do tend to get tired out by a few Tony Nese matches because it's just the same thing all the time, and it's going to lead to the same ending. But a good match between the two. Kalisto got to do a couple cool moves like a corkscrew headbutt, Salida del Sol, Franken drivers, all that good stuff. After that match, Vic Joseph cut to a video package recapping the feud between Cedric Alexander and Jack Gallagher. And this led to us heading to commercial break, where Drew Gulak was shown walking backstage with No Chance on a lawn sign. So while the commercial break is happening, now I would like to take a break from the audio review to talk about the benefits of being a member of .NET. This is the free audio. You'll get each major weekly show reviewed on a erratic or sporadic schedule. That's because the free audio that we give you is just a taste, like a Costco sample. Note, for $7.50 a month, you can become a .NET member, where you get Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, Ring of Honor, TNA, GFW, Impact, or whatever that show is called by the week. We also have Lucha Underground reviews. In fact, Lucha Underground in the middle of its four-part season finale. You get all those reviews every day on the weekdays. Jake Barnett and Jason Powell even have you covered on the pay-per-views. Our biggest podcast is on the member side. That's Jason Powell's flagship podcast, the .NET Weekly Show, where Powell and a guest host go over all the huge news of the week. Last week, Jason and Brian Fritz of Sporting News went over all the news in pro wrestling, which led to 99 minutes of discussion. It's not quantity over quality, since we tend to have very meaty conversations about the topics we discuss. Audio is just a cusp of the member benefits, but I don't want to hold you down too long with this plug. Try us out for a month or two. You can cancel anytime. You can sign up for when you want and not sign up for a month and maybe come back for Survivor Series or the Rumble, if you will. But if you do take us up on the annual option, you can bring the price down to an average of $5.50 a month. That's $2 off on average. That's about 2 McCafe coffees. Check us out. If you like wrestling analysis, and you probably do since you're listening to this, you'll definitely be satiated with the member side. Now, that's the plug, and let's get back to the actual review. The next segment was another Drew Gulak PowerPoint presentation. This week's slide was about no flipping. And he's sort of been doing this every week, but so far it hasn't jumped the shark yet. It kind of reminds me of how Chris Jericho back in the WCW days had that whole 1,004 holds thing, except this is Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation of 277 slides. But this led to our next match, which was Drew Gulak versus his old rival, Mustafa Ali. Before the match started, though, you had Akira Tozawa setting up a chair right at the top of the ramp so he can taunt Drew Gulak. And that was the story of the match. A good match, by the way. But I think they went a little bit too many times with Akira Tozawa going, ha, 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 which is his chant. And Drew Gulak's slide of the day was no chance. Or it was no flips, actually. No chance was last week. But Akira Tozawa kept distracting Drew Gulak, and that eventually got Mustafa Ali to win. So I liked how they pulled that off, because I was almost sure Drew Gulak was going to win, because it's based off the way that they usually book 205 Live. The guy with the push ends up beating the guy who is the designated job guy. Mustafa Ali has nothing to do, so I totally expected him to lose. Even though he won the feud against Drew Gulak back in the past, but Drew Gulak is the one getting the push. But I like how they actually found a way, a creative way, somewhat created by 205 Live standards, to get Mustafa Ali the win. Even though this win doesn't mean anything for him, it actually did more to enhance the Akira Tozawa versus Drew Gulak feud. So after that segment, we had hype for TJP versus Rich Swann yet again. Hopefully this is the end of the feud, or at least we get a more exciting match. I was encouraged last week when we saw a darker TJ Perkins, instead of, as I've been comparing him to, Swaggy P. Nick Young. But let's see where they go. I also think Rich Swann needs to move on and do something a little bit more creative and or entertaining. But we were taken to Dasha Fuentes, who was conducting an interview with the Brian Kendrick. The Brian Kendrick talked about how this was very similar to the promo that Arya Daivari cut last week, where he now respects Neville, and he's trying to suck up to Neville. But the added thing, not Neville, sorry, Enzo Amore and Neville. Neville wasn't even on this episode, interesting enough. But Kendrick moved to talking about Cedric Alexander, but suddenly Cedric Alexander ran in and beat up on Brian Kendrick's leg. So in a very heelish fashion, but it makes sense because Kendrick and Gallagher have been double teaming and trying to injure him, so turnabout's fair play here. And Cedric Alexander needs somewhat of an edge. And this would transition to our next match, which is Jack Gallagher versus Cedric Alexander. I wonder, Jack Gallagher wrestled the match in a suit, similar to how Loki wrestles in the suit. But of course, Jack Gallagher, it fits his character, and it's not a video game cosplay. Even though Jack Gallagher does remind me of Dudley from Street Fighter 3. Anyway, this was a good match. We got three solid matches on the show. They weren't all that long, and they were pretty much WWE main roster style. But it wasn't your formula, start with a chain wrestling sequence, then have a stalemate, then have a couple chin locks, and then lead to a finisher, and then win. Your typical WWE superstars type formula. But yeah, this was a solid match. The ending was made sense. I didn't like the way that Jack Gallagher sold it, though. He was going for the umbrella. Then Cedric Alexander stopped him from using the umbrella and used it himself. But before Alexander used the umbrella, you had Jack Gallagher begging for mercy, which doesn't match his new, darker heel character. So I thought that was a bit odd. But after the match, so Jack Gallagher defeated Cedric Alexander via disqualification in 6 minutes and 26 seconds. And they had a pretty good brawl afterwards. And who had the upper hand? Cedric Alexander got the upper hand, so he just beat up Jack Gallagher. And Jack Gallagher got some good shots in, but at the same time, Cedric Alexander needs to get some heat. I hope that Jack Gallagher is the one that ends up coming out on top in this feud, Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick, because Cedric Alexander could eat a loss, and Gallagher is a fresh heel. I hope they also don't make this like Randy Orton joining the Wyatt family, where he's trying to catch Brian Kendrick off guard. I hope that doesn't happen. But it was a good brawl, and overall, this was a pretty good 205 Live by 205 Live standards. Oh, and I forgot to point out earlier, so you had Brian Kendrick talking about how he respects Enzo Amore, even though he acted differently on Raw. It's just the way that they've been writing both Raw and 205 Live. For some reason on Raw, all the cruiserweights hate Enzo Amore. While on 205 Live, the heels like the heels and the babyface likes the babyface. Your typical pro wrestling alliance thingy. So that was the thing I wanted to point out. But overall, a solid show. Enzo Amore is working so far as their top, the guy that they are building around. The only problem is going to be the same problem they had with Neville, where Neville does a good job, Enzo does a good job on his end. If you could combine both of them, you would have the perfect wrestler with the perfect voice and the perfect wrestling. But the problem that they had throughout 205 Live's run with Neville is eventually they just put him in, he's on an island all to himself, to the point where everyone just gets buried and everyone just starts spinning their wheels. So they're going to have to find a useful way to put heat on other people, like Cedric Alexander, like Jack Gallagher. That's where I feel that there's some sort of hope in the future, and it's a hope with a question mark, because as I pointed out in my review, 205 Live, even more than TNA, even is like the center of pro wrestling nihilism. It's just no hope. I don't have any hope in this show. Unless they put this in the hands of the NXT crew, which I don't see happening while this is a post-SmackDown production. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back later or tomorrow morning with the NXT audio and the Ultima Lucha 3 Part 2 review. So there we go. Thank you so much for listening. And as I mentioned earlier, make sure to check out .NET Membership. And if you're a member, thank you so much for being a member. It's because of you guys that we put out this audio every single day. So with that said, have a nice one. Bye-bye.